This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
How good was the weekend of racing in the two states at Randwick and also at Caulfield? Fantastic. Seven of the 10 favourites for those people out there who love backing favourites. Seven of the 10 favourites landed at Caulfield. A Group 1 double to Dwayne Dunn. Congratulations to him. And then the performance by Winks, only in a field of three. But now, 12 straight wins for Winks. Farlap won 14 in succession. Tullock won 12 in succession. Winks has now won 12 plus $7.5 million in prize money. It wets your lips just thinking about what we're looking forward to in 2 weeks' time in the Cox Plate. Where is it only a head-to-head battle between Winks and Hartnell, where that record reads 3-0? In favour of Winks, but Hartnell a much better performed galloper and certainly on the rise. And at Randwick, congratulations to the Snowden stable. Peter and Paul with three winners and the Spring Champion Stakes. Well, Yankee Rose taking on the boys and giving the boys a beating. And Dean Yandel, congratulations to him, the jockey. His first Group 1 as he enters the 40s. But still, he's got a Group 1, and who knows? Now goes forward, maybe, Yankee Rose and Dean Yandel to the Cox Plate, where he's going to have to, not eat for the next 2 weeks to make the weight for the filly in the Cox Plate. A man who has eaten plenty in the past 2 weeks and will in the next 2 weeks is Ronnie Duffersey. G'day, Ronnie.
G'day, TK. He'll probably just have to miss breakfast that morning to ride that weight. Yandel, he's a natural lightweight, and he's a cool customer. He was a talking point at Randwick on Saturday. He's got a good sense of humour, didn't let the moment get to him. And what great value he is with his experience when you get down to these real lightweights in the big handicaps. I'm sure, although he's been around a while, he could be the first go-to man after proving himself there at Randwick on Saturday.
I said 47 and a half. Is it 47?
I think it's 47 and a half.
Yeah, I think it's 47 and a half. Anyway, the only filly to actually win the Cox Plate, it's well documented, isn't it? Surround back in 1976. It's very, very difficult for a three-year-old filly to win a Cox Plate.
It probably will be this year when you've got horses like Cox and Hart all around. But anyway,
yeah,
it's their dream. I could have thought of better options, but big syndicate, exciting moment for them. Good luck to them. The dream's alive.
Yes. Well, speaking of keeping the dreams alive for all the punters, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Not a great weekend for us, TK, and it didn't get any better yesterday when our cup meeting at Cranbourne got blown away.
Yeah, I was actually in Melbourne for an unsuccessful attempt at the Radio Awards on Saturday night.
For what show?
Where someone reminded me, if you don't win, you finish last, and so that's fair enough too. We finished last, I guess. But I got out on a 7 o'clock plane, but I think virtually every plane after that was delayed because of the wind.
Well, I think Dino lives down near Cranbourne Way. He might be in South Australia or something at the moment. The wind was that strong.
Well, we better find out. Dean Lester, good morning to you.
Morning, TK. It was quite frightening yesterday, and it got a lot worse after they called the races off.
Really?
That was what they had been told. And I think it nearly doubled in intensity by the time sort of about 4 o'clock came along.
76K wins? Something?
That's when they called it off. And they got around 120.
Wow.
Around 4 o'clock.
Jeez. Well, at least you had some cash after Saturday, I hope.
A little bit.
Something?
Yeah, a little something.
Something?
Yep.
Yeah. Five of the 10 winners were Sydney horses down there at Caulfield. Doesn't really worry you. What do you make of Yankee Rose, Dean? It's a very, very tough target, isn't it, the Cox Plate?
It is. And, yes, the stat is that it's 40 years this year since Surround won the Cox Plate. But not many try. No, and when they do, they usually, if they're in form, like Miss Finland, well, maybe she should have won one.
Did you have to bring it up?
Did you Samantha Miss did run second to Maldivian, and not many have tried since then. So, oh, look, she's in an elite year, and but that was a really good performance. I thought the few things that she that ticked off on Saturday was, well, one, she backed up. She's been very carefully placed through her career, but she was on a seven-day backup, and she ran right through the line at 2,000 metres.
All right. Where have you got Yankee Rose, Glenn? Can we have a look at the Cox Plate market? I know it's in 2 weeks. I will get to the Caulfield Cup after the Cox Plate.
Well, TK, straight after the race, she was a $26 chance, Yankee Rose, on Saturday in the Cox Plate. Since that point in time, she's become a $17 chance. I think she'll probably run, if not our worst way in the Cox Plate, very, very close to
okay.
it. She's one of those horses. She's always well supported in every race she's in. She was one of the better back runners all day on Saturday. She was 280 to 250 by Friday, and then she was 230, I think, to 210. There at one stage on Saturday. But the Cox Plate market has Winx at the top there at $190, Hartnell at $3, Blackheart, Barton, Howracki, along with Lucia Valentina, all at $15, Yankee Roses at $17, Vadamos at $18, Divine Prophet with a question mark alongside him at $26, and then on the $35 line, Jamaica, well, they did have a question mark whether it backs up out of the Caulfield Cup, Palantino, and well, the other 3 year old there in Sacred Elixir.
Divine Prophet, Dino, maybe the Cox Plate, maybe a spell and come back in the autumn.
Divine Prophet?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I heard Wayne Hawks on Melbourne Radio this morning, and that's...
Is there an update?
Well, or... just the horse has pulled up really well. They're going to monitor him over the next few days, and as Wayne Hawks mentioned, they've gone two different ways with Guineas winners in the past. Lonray went to the paddock as a three-year-old, but All Too Hard went on to the Cox Plate and ran second. So they've gone either way in the past. Noctagonal, of course, won it as a three-year-old. So
Viscount should have won, nearly.
Well, Viscount should have won, coming off about an eighth behind Lonray in the Guineas, so, and a luckless. But, what would you think, Duff? I mean, he had the perfect run. I mean, if you could guarantee he was going to get that sort of run on Cox Plate Day.
Yeah, got the cover, got the split.
Yeah, I think he's a good colt. Whether it's the right year to do it, I don't know. I would have thought he would have been a better chance than Yankee Rose in the race, personally. Yeah. But, you know, look, Hawksy always picks the right options. He lets his horse tell him, and if he accepts with him, you know the horse is thriving.
Yeah, well, that's what... The horse will probably tell the stable, no doubt. But, Glenn, there, you got $26 Divine Prophet up against Yankee Rose 17. So if that's the case, they're probably a little bit of overs, and we don't accuse you of that very often, Divine Prophet.
Well, we know Yankee Rose is definitely going there, so you can factor in a little bit of, you know, a little bit extra until it's confirmed. I think if they came out and said, right, Divine Prophet will definitely go there, does he have to be the same price as Yankee Rose?
Yeah.
Would it be a better option for these three-year-olds to run in the McKinnon? Because maybe Winx and Hartnell won't run in the McKinnon. You know, it might be a good year for a three-year-old to run the McKinnon, but what do you do in between? That's the question mark.
Which is now on the final day of the carnival, just reminding everybody of that change.
Yeah, so that makes it a month away, doesn't it?
Yes.
Or 2 weeks to Cox Plate and then 2 weeks to the McKinnon.
Some people say it's a weight certainty in this Saturday's Caulfield Cup. I'm talking about Jamaica, $3.50, Glenn. Scottish, the import, we haven't seen race yet in this country. $7. Real Love 8.
Yeah, Articus and Exospheric. Now, that's the horse formerly known as Exosphere overseas. Yep. It's had a name change here in Australia to Exospheric at $10. Tally, who chased home Hartnell the other day, at $11. Sir Isaac Newton's there at $15. Set Square and Sir John Hawkwood both at $16. Antonio Giuseppe and its stablemate Preferment at $21. Galante, Howard Be Thy Name, our Ivanhoe at $26, along with Sacred Master Tarzina, the United States, and Who Shot the Barman.
Geez, Dino, will you have a look at that? There's a lot of unknowns there, and we know about Jamaica.
That's true, TK.
You know, seeing's believing sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think of the locals, I really think it's a mare's race. I think Jamaica and Real Love are the two I'd want to be with.
Yeah.
And then trying to sort out the internationals and where they fit in.
Yeah, and I guess reports are they're all thriving
never
down there.
Never better.
Yeah, never better.
Never better.
Yeah, put
wish they'd been there all their life.
Put back on the weight they did.
Yeah.
Be cantering well.
Yep, cantering,
and
doing
walking
beautifully.
Very stylish.
Well, we should point out they do have beautiful facilities to recover, don't they? And train. They're quite spoiled.
Oh, it's a great facility.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they do most of their work and they've done their racing all through the season. So it's more maintenance once they get here. Make light of it, but you're not going to see them light up the track. A little bit different when they get to the Melbourne Cup because they've been here a bit longer and they've got to do a bit of work to get to the 2 mile. But the first part of their project is usually just getting them settled in and ticking over.
Yep. Let's go to the Spring Champion if we can, Ronnie, and have a look at that first. We mentioned Dean Yendall. Congratulations to him. Yankee Rose was quite sensational. The first filly to actually win that race and now probably onwards to the Cox Plate. But she had a bit to do on the home turn.
She certainly did.
Yeah, I didn't... Because there's been a few question marks about her, haven't there?
Yeah, they had. Look, he put her into a beautiful position and he stayed cool, calm and collected and he switched her off, which was very good to see. But when they did sprint for home, you thought for, a furlong there, or 100 metres anyway, that she was in a bit of trouble. But she did really, really pick herself up like a good filly and savage the line. So, look, she had, like I said, she adds a bit of interest to the Cox Plate. I thought Swear was... great. They still thoughts of him. They're keen to go to Melbourne for a Derby prep. I think he's a good horse. He's he could easily be a force in a race like that. He's got that touch of quality about him. Although I think he's going to be better in the autumn. I'd still want to be on his back to a certain extent in Melbourne if that's the decision they want to make. Prized Icon was good again. Had his chance. Relodero, he was good. He's been getting favours winning, but he's toughed it out really well there again on Saturday. Honey Wine's just starting to lighten off a little bit. So a question mark on him, and the jury's out on High Mist. Just his attitude. He's a colt, and he does a few things wrong in his races, not wanting to settle. But as far as a Derby point of view is concerned, it probably has to be Swear. But the Derby's looking a little bit more open as far as the Sydney angle's concerned.
Dow isn't the right word. That's not being kind enough to Swear, but did race more like a Derby contender?
He did. Look, to me, he's like a man in a boy's body.
Yeah.
He's lean and lanky and athletic, but he's just got autumn written all over him. But I still feel he does have class.
Glenn, what did you make of the Spring Champion?
Well, I don't think we learned... I still don't know what's going on in the Derby, TK. I don't think we learned a great deal there. And if you look at the market, like it's $7 each of four and then $9 each of four behind it.
Yeah. So we saw Bond look pretty good at Caulfield there, Dino.
Geez, what about Seabirch too on the weekend? Yeah. He jumped out of the ground, Dino.
Yeah, he did run well, Seabirch. That's the first time I've really sort of seen him run really well at Caulfield. And Sosie Bond's ticking over well. He looks as though he's a bit of a Derby contender, but we'll see a bit more in the Caulfield Classic on Saturday, I imagine.
And one thing I noticed with Soisy Bond, which concerned me a little bit, and I might be wrong, I was just watching the vision and watching the replays, and when a horse went in next to him, he roared like a mad colt. Is that him? Or?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I can't get too enthused yet. He's getting through his preparation well, but I'm waiting for him to sort of turn off in his preparation, but he's going really well at the moment.
What about Kaching?
Kaching, I thought they rode too close on Saturday, I think running in the Guineas was an error, personally, for his Derby campaign. He was on a backup. I would love to have just seen him go to the Caulfield Classic, so now he's got to go maybe to the Vase and see where he's at, but I've lost a bit of interest in Kaching.
And you're right with Sacred Elixir, Dean?
Yeah, a bit slow around Caulfield for that sort of race. But, he's not out of the Derby picture.
Okay.
He hadn't tightened up much from that first up run. So they've still got plenty to work with in the next 3 weeks.
Dixie Blossoms was brilliant. Had been like unlucky, 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 unlucky. Back me next time, back me next time, back me next time. Next time was on Saturday, Ronnie.
She's a beauty.
Yeah.
An absolute
She
beauty.
Sprinted better.
Yeah, we all know she's probably ridden better quiet, and that's the key to her. But she had to be ridden forward at a previous start, considering the circumstances of that race. And this was a great ride, because coming into this meeting, you would have thought she had to be ridden forward again. And then we had, I think there was four trainers go to the steward saying, I'm going to go forward today with, Gay Waterhouse runner and a few others in that race that Replique was supposed to go forward.
Right.
There was expected... even Extensible was supposed to go forward to a certain extent. Unequivocal, they went to the steward saying it would go forward, and there was at least another one there as well. So he read the play. He said, wow, this is my opportunity, Timmy Clark, and he rode her quiet. And we know she can explode, and she did just that. If she's a real Coolmore Autumn horse. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. She's going to get better next year. And, you know, if Ronnie decides to train on with her for something in Melbourne, she's obviously hard to beat in anything she can test. She's right at the top of a game.
Doesn't he have that wonderful record with mares? Poor old Ronnie says that's because no one wants to get... He's sort of made a rod for his own back there, his association with mares, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice to have in the stable, don't get me wrong.
It's a good pool to be in, I think.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's not like he can't train colts or geldings.
No, definitely not.
but he's just got a tremendous record with the mares. Lady Lafay was second and pretty good, and Happy Hannah was, well, stuck on pretty good for third as well, Ronnie.
Yeah, she's ready to win. She'll go to Melbourne now, Happy Hannah. I would have thought a race like Dino, the Tessio or something like that, it'd be a lovely race for her. Third up, lovely race, and she'll be hard to beat. She's ready now.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's usually the ideal race coming off that race, the angst, yeah.
And I guess Broadside was the professional victor of maybe, well, in my eyes, from the Randwick meeting, which was a good three, and every horse sort of had their chance, but Broadside was pretty professional.
He was. He was always in control. He's a progressive type. It wasn't a strong race, and I'm interested to see, you know, when Gay lifts him 2400, how he reacts to that. He looks like he'll run it, and he's a nice horse. You know, whether he's going to be a force during the Melbourne Spring Carnival, I'm not so sure, but he's for the future.
All right, and Thunder Fantasy won like a champ. And obviously he's overcome some major, major injury setbacks, Ronnie, Thunder Fantasy, but a really good training effort, this one by Anthony Cummings, who's obviously got this horse right.
Yeah, well, he had him before he went to Hong Kong.
That's right. You
know, yep. What he was knows he? The horse well.
Derby, obviously.
This was unbelievable. You know, you would have thought he would have lacked a bit of match practice, 500 days off, 63 kilos, near record time they've run for the 1400 at Randwick. Amazing. Good luck to them. It's a feather in their cap, a great result.
It was the first leg of the Quaddy too, and we had Cash Out Quaddy now, the new thing you can do at TAB. So we renamed it after Thunder Fantasy 1. It was Crash Out Quaddy. The first leg most people crashed out in.
Yes,
Will he come down for the Longines Mile or something?
I was about to say, what's the target
there? He's so
good
at Flemington.
That's the plan.
Yeah, because, I mean, his last run at Flemington, he ran third in the Australian Guineas to Seamus Award and Criterion, so...
Not bad form.
No, it's old form, but it's a very good form.
Yeah, but maybe the horse has just recaptured that sort of form, which would be fantastic. We can never have enough stars on the block, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
13:53:53. We'll be taking your calls throughout the program, all the queries, the good runs, the bad runs, and, look, I'm not talking through my pocket here, but I'd just like to say, Ronnie, I don't know whether anybody, including all the big guns, are riding better than Timmy Clark currently at Randwick.
He's riding confidently. Yeah. I must say, he's. I love putting my money on him at the moment, and he's thinking out things. He's reading the play well. He's riding very, very well. I think you've put it right.
Yeah, he's. Congrats. Well done to him, and keep it going, along with plenty of the other jocks who are doing a terrific job.
This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Hey, the boys are all listening, ready to take your queries on 13 53 53. Dean Lester, Glenn Munsey, TK, and also Ronnie Duffacy. What's the weather report for Caulfield Saturday, Dino? And will there be watering Herbert? Hang on, Herbert. When it comes to weather, I'm the guru here.
That's what I was going to say. I'll bow to the man.
Yeah. Shower or two today, but only up to a couple of mil.
Yep.
Maybe a couple of mil on Tuesday.
Yep.
Maybe a couple of mil on Wednesday.
Yep.
Nothing on Thursday. Friday, a beautiful day. Sunshine 20. Saturday, no rain. Sunshine 23. So
beautiful.
Beautiful. A little bit of natural stuff, and then probably a bit of watering as well, Dino.
Bit of watering Thursday morning, I'd say, after the Wednesday meeting.
Yeah.
And then...
Go up a good four?
No, Caulfield don't tend to do that. If it's a good three, it's a good three.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I would say...
It'll be...
The jockeys, when they walked it on Saturday, were saying it was like a four, four and a half when they walked it, but it was drying that quickly with the nice breeze and everything that by about the third race, it was absolutely spot on.
Right. And the other thing, I guess, out of that... The old Europeans, we haven't heard the calls for them to water the track yet, but that we've got 4 days to go, 5 days to go.
Yeah, I think they're bringing their genuine firm trackers.
Yeah, they know
I
now.
I think they've worked out that, when in Rome. Just seems to be a really good vibe around the Andreas Waller horse, Articus. He hasn't missed much when he's come out here, Andreas, with these runners, even just bringing a few out. I think it's one I'll be putting a fair bit of study into.
You're right. Okay, there's a couple of queries about that horse, so that's one we've got to log on and find out a bit about, Articus. And I think the Europeans have moved past watching replays of Van der Ham.
Yes.
What was that, 76?
76, yes.
It's a long time ago, isn't it? Ronnie told me about it. Let's start taking calls. Hi, Crossy.
Morning, lads.
Morning, mate.
Hey, regarding the Caulfield Cup and penalty, has there been any thought of removing that potential penalty for the Melbourne Cup? It just seems in the last few years there's been a couple of horses nominated that end up going potentially a little bit better than maybe anticipated, skipping that Caulfield Cup, going to the Cox Plate in potential protection of that weight that they've got for the Melbourne Cup.
Yep, there's certainly...
That $3 million race that we potentially could have.
It's a good point, Crossy.
The Melbourne Racing Club put a submission about the Caulfield Cup to the handicapping panel about it being a penalty-free race, and that was rejected.
Okay. All right.
Thanks,
Crossy. No, good point, Dino. Would that be because... Wouldn't rob the Melbourne Cup of any... runners?
Look, and the other thing is that the penalties are absolutely minimal compared to previous handicapping regimes.
So you get like half a kilo or something like that.
They use it all comparative. The thing about the penalties were that the weights used to get released last week in July or 1st of August. Now they get released 6 weeks, 7 weeks later. So the form's a lot more relevant. The horses are up and going. So there's not such a big variance. These horses are competing against each other in lots of ways. So I think they're far more accurate with what they've done in the handicapping rather than what they used to do when it was released sort of 6, 7 weeks earlier.
Yeah, that's fair enough too. A couple for Glenn here. Thought Munsey might have blown Winks out a little when she came up with the outside barrier. Davo, tongue-in-cheek.
Well, she did. She blew from $1.15 to $1.20. That's a massive blow.
And here's a quick one from Rob. I don't want to spend 20 minutes on this. Question to Glenn. Had the field going to the last leg of the Sydney Quaddy, I wasn't able to get to the pub to see the cash-out offer was worth. How is the offer worked out? Rob from Wagga.
Well, it's the same as the cash-out offer in a normal multi. The pool is not affected, so it's coming out of a different structure there. So if the pool is X amount and, 95% of people cash out going into the last leg or the second leg or the third leg, that pool stays as it is.
Right.
People would think, if people start pulling out, does that mean, their money's getting taken out of the pool? It's not.
No. Well, that's...
Buying their ticket.
Yeah.
That's right. So the money goes back in. And it never came out.
No, it never comes out.
Never came out.
It's a great initiative.
Yeah, it is.
Glenn, you
usually Ron, get a how are you?
Glenn, you usually get a customer for every horse. Any love for race one, number three at Wagga today? Special verse. It's a 10-year-old mare making her debut.
Race one at Wagga.
Something the place? Or
At this stage, Ron, $12 the win and $7 the place.
Is that a record?
In a hold of $86 the win and $67 the place.
That must be a record, surely.
12 out of 86, so it's roughly one-seventh of the investment at this stage. Right. So, 14.
She did beat 2 home in a trial in Canberra in 2012.
Right, and was desperately
unlucky.
Couldn't get a run.
He did say to the owners, the trainer, he said, I'm just waiting the right race for it.
Yeah, needs time. Hi, guys. Can Dean tell me about what he thinks of Bondi Beach for the Melbourne Cup? Okay. And who owns trains and will ride? And will it have a lead-up run? Thanks, guys. Rob.
I don't think it'll have a lead-up run. Ryan Moore's going to ride it. Yeah. Aidan O'Brien trains it.
Yeah, well, there's Well, some would say a couple of pluses.
And I don't know, because we didn't learn a lot about him last year. We didn't learn a lot about a lot of horses because of the way the Melbourne Cup was run last year. He was one that tried to make an early move because he realised the pace was so slow and did a lot of work when the others were resting. So I don't know where he fits in.
And that was a shame on the weekend, Dino. Prince of Penzance went amiss.
It was.
Real shame.
Yeah, he ran a very respectable race and he's been ticking over well. And they've been waiting to put the blinkers back on him Moonee Valley Cup Day and then have him right for the Melbourne Cup again. But got in a bit of interference on the home turn. I'd say that's when he suffered the injury. And he's having, I think as we speak, he's having surgery on his foot as we speak.
And what did you make of the Caulfield Stakes? You know, how have you analysed Winx after that performance?
Oh, she's just ticking along beautifully. I sort of just think they're circling. Both horses are going really well, Hartnell and Winx, but they have been head to head twice.
Three, I think.
Three, is it?
I think three, and it's 3-0.
3-0. Well,
but Hartnell's better, but maybe Winx is too.
The Chipping Norton in the autumn. Well, he might be better. But is this a case of whenever we saw Haylist without Black Caviar, we go, how would this horse ever get beaten? How would he ever get beaten?
Yes.
And then he get beaten three lengths by Black Caviar.
Yep.
I just think it's very similar.
It may be what could have been a career best performance by Haylist too.
Yeah. A lot of his career best.
It was one of the great races I've ever seen.
The TJ Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the three-year-old in the last, could he measure up with, you know, with your Asterns and with your extreme choices of start turn?
Absolutely. I mean, he wasn't far behind Astern, was he? In the was it the Run to the Rose or one of those? And physically, I can't believe the development he's made, Ron. I mean, he was a really nice two-year-old, but he looks like a five-year-old. He's got that much muscle tone on him, and
amazing.
He's
backside on him.
Oh, he's just that powerful. I mean, as soon as he came in the yard on Saturday, he's just thinking, well, the weight advantage he's got for a start, he shouldn't have because he doesn't look like a three-year-old. And that was a big win because the two horses inside him, Flamberge and Furnace, has ran second last and last. The Monster was bumping into him four wide.
He's in an awful spot.
All the way. Like, that horse four wide was just a pest. And he just held his nerve and just went on with the job and kicked away. It was a tremendous win.
Yeah, a really good win. Let's get to the Abilene. Hi, Sean. Good morning. Hi, Sean.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate.
I just wanted to ask a question for Dino. What does he think of Sacred Elixir's run on Saturday and whereabouts he will be going?
Okay.
Well, as I mentioned before, I thought just a grinding run. I thought that was the run he'd probably produce after that first up run, and he'll be better at 2,000. He'll run one of the next two Saturdays. I haven't heard Tony Pike come out and say which way he's going, whether it's straight into the Caulfield Classic this Saturday or next Saturday week for the Vars. But he'll have one more run before the Derby.
All right, and be pretty hard to beat wherever he goes.
I think he's a good Derby chance, yeah.
Mm. Thanks, Sean, for that. Hello, Warwick. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
I've got a question for Glenn.
Yes, mate.
It's about the cash-out quaddies. If you've got the first three legs, what is beneficial in terms of the cash-out amount if in the last leg you've got either the three favourites, you know, first, second, third favourite, or three outsiders? What would potentially give you the bigger cash-out?
Well, it depends on what percentage you've got on each of them, and it's based on what dividend you'd get back. So the higher dividend, you would think, would be the bigger cash out amount. If you stand to win,
if you've got 100-1 pop, you've got a bigger cash out amount than if you've got the 6-4 pop.
Mm. Because if you've got to the last leg, the dividend that you're getting, you would think that the cash out figure would be bigger on the bigger dividend because you stand to win more money.
Yeah. Is that how you see it, Warwick?
I've sent another one to sleep.
Hello?
Yeah, is that how you see it?
Yeah, well, if you got in the last leg, I mean, you could target the three favourites or you could target the three outsiders. When you get to, it's going to be either, you know, irrespective of what you've got in the other legs, I mean, it's either going to pay more or less sort of thing. That's what I...
Well, you've got to get, yeah, it is, but you've got to get the first three to start with.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You have the first three. It could be anything. It could be just $5, $5, $5. But if you've got the three outsiders, or go another way, have the three, first, second, third favourite, which would be the bigger cash out, do you think?
Well, the whatever your biggest dividend is on the winner, would be, you would think the cash out figure would be bigger on that because you stand to win more money on that particular selection.
Yes.
And you can cash out at any time. It's not just the last leg, isn't it?
You can cash out after the first leg.
First leg. If the rain came and you're on dry trackers and you thought, geez, I might get far, you could cash out then.
Okay.
Can you cash out on one of your runners or two of your runners? Or do you have to cash the whole ticket?
Partials.
Partial cash out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's up to you how much you want to cash out, how much you want to let ride. Mm-hmm. You might want to cash out 50% going into the last race and then back three others in the race.
Okay, so say I've got numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the last leg. Can I just cash out on number 5?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Partial cash out.
Good.
Yeah. We're only here to please, Ron.
Oh, amazing.
Yep. Hello, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Well, Steve.
That's good. You ought to level up the playing field for a few punters out there.
Yep.
Anthony Cummings, everyone knew he had a good horse, but what most people didn't know, he's got a damn good horse again, this Sons of Fantasy. Obviously, probably the best horse that ran in Sydney on Saturday by a mile. Now, where's he going, second up from a spell and third up? Where does he say he's going, I should say?
He says he's going to the mile, the Longines Mile, the old Emirates. That's where he says he's going.
Is that the handicap, is it?
Yeah,
that's on Derby Day.
It used to be the final day of the carnival. Now it's Derby Day.
Okay, what date's that?
29th of October.
The 29th? And what's coming? Now, what date's the McKinnon on?
The last day, 5th of November.
The 6th. Yeah, so he reckons he's going in second up to win a race second up. I don't think so. There's some race third up he can squeeze into. Is he entered for anything around third up from a spell, say, let's say around that October, November, sorry?
Knowing Anthony, he could finish up in
Hong
Perth.
Kong.
Well, hold on. He won first up after 518 days.
That's all right. That's how good he is. But the thing about it is, right, third up from a spell now, third up, he's going to be a little bit hurt after that race. Where should he be going third up from a spell in Melbourne? Have you got any idea at all?
I think Dino hit the nail on the head. This horse has performed. They know him in Hong Kong. He's performed well in Hong Kong. He'd be looking.
You're not answering my question.
Well, he could run third up in Hong Kong in the international race
he's not going back to Hong Kong.
Well, hold on. If you know the answer to the question, you tell us, Warwick. Where do you think he'll be?
No, he's come back. If he's capable of breeding, I don't know whether he's fertile or whatever, he's come back for this reason. But he wants to. They obviously want to put a race or two under his belt. That one on Saturday is not going to open up too many eyes unless people put a lot of money on it. But there is some big race for it. I want to know which way go here.
It could be the railway in Perth.
Hey?
Could be the railway in Perth over a mile, third up.
Oh, Kingston Town, 1800.
Yes. What date's that, please, mate?
Is it the 20th? Is the railway the first
19th?
Is the railway the first week, the second week, or the
third
week?
They've changed it all around.
No, the railway and the Winterbottom used to be on the first day, which would be the 19th.
Yeah.
We've just got to work out.
So it'll be the railway, the 19th, the 26th, the Winterbottom, and then the second Kingston Town.
And that one's a handicap, of course, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a race won by a good project last year who came off
and
a benchmark win at
you
Flemington.
What price you got in there on the railway for that?
There's no noms for the railway yet.
Jeez.
Okay, fair enough.
But as soon as they nominate for the railway, we'll have a market up for it. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, at least Anthony Cummings knows where to bet, and I don't at the moment. But anyway, thanks, fellas.
Good on your work. Okay, that was a bit exhausting.
Flight plans for Perth or something for
Warwick. I hope he buys himself a diary. Huh?
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, TK, you've had a week off, TK, and you seem to be very, very antsy. You know, your first day back here.
Hold on, we were telling him where the horse was going. He was going, no.
Just because you didn't get an award in that soiree you went to on Saturday night, you seem to want to take on the world.
We're very unlucky, you know.
Why? There was only two.
You ran third.
They ran second. There was two in it.
Oh, jeez.
What did you get beat by, the test pattern?
Well, we got beat by... Who? Steve Price and Andrew Bolt.
Okay.
Oh, not Usain Bolt.
Yes, that's right. Well, a couple of battlers like us, Dino, Slats and myself, up against Steve Price and Andrew Bolt.
Did you ever thought you had a chance?
You felt like Kiyoshi, did you?
Well, our pub
in the big league.
Yeah, the good news was our pub listening machine got right behind us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
They thought it was on next week.
Yeah, move on, Terry. Yeah, move on. 13:53:53. Hello, Gary.
Oh, good day, fellas. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Gaz.
Yeah, a bit of an idea. You right now?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate.
Yeah, on Saturday, Crown Bet at if Winks wins by two lengths at Pate was paying $3, that's okay. But that margin, I could have swore that was less than two lengths. How did they work out two lengths and not a length and three quarters?
Well, I think that the margins that they usually go on, it's one and three quarters and the next margin is two lengths. If you look at the times, it ran 0.31 seconds faster than what Blackheart Bart did. And I always used to estimate, you know, a length was 0.16 of a second. So on times, you said it was two lengths. But, mate...
What, they go to length and three quarters and then
that'd be two lengths.
That, it's classed as two lengths.
That's right. So
round it up instead of rounding it down, do they?
Well, that's what I believe, because but sometimes you see in the margins, you know, they get beat for 3.9. But official margin, I'll bow to Dino here.
Well, Miss Gunpowder in the previous race got beaten 7.05 lengths. So,
but when they put the margins up on the, you know, after the race, they don't say 1.7.
No.
They say 1 3/4 or 2.
Well,
they
Silent Sedition got beat 0.4
lengths. Place getters, though.
I thought they stopped betting on that, didn't they?
We're not allowed to bet on it.
So the tab's not.
That was a Ray Murray directive.
I quite like that directive.
Because
everyone, and there's not, right? But everyone thinks there's always a conspiracy theory, you know? So I'm happy to not take calls on it.
That was Ray Murray's perfect case in point there.
Yep.
Why do we, you know, people want their horses to win. He said, you know, horses are there to win. They're not there to win by certain amounts.
No, that's right. I agree with that. I agree with that. Good on you, Gary. Sorry, we probably can't help you there. 13:53:53 Not everyone's governed by the same rules, quite clearly, Glenn. That's right, isn't it?
Well, it depends where you hold your licence, TK. We're governed by
New South Wales,
Victoria, and the ACT.
Okay.
So, you know, New South Wales, we're not allowed to do it. And we have situations where we can offer certain markets in Victoria that we can't offer in New South Wales.
True.
We can offer markets in New South Wales that we can't offer in Victoria. Yeah. One of the perfect cases in point there was UFC. The Victorian government didn't want betting on UFC. Mm. They were quite happy to have the actual bouts in the state, but not allow wagering.
Oh. There's no hypocrisy from governments. 13:53:53 Anyway, it's a great day. It's a great day as far as I'm concerned. If we haven't gone the early crow with the ban on greyhound racing industry to be overturned either today or tomorrow by the Baird government, it's a terrific day for the industry.
Special update on Special Verse here, Ronnie. An extra $3 the win and $1 the place has got on it. So it's 16 by 8.
Okay, let's get up to...
Which will give you a half a serving of duck pancakes.
Probably bolting.
How was it yesterday? Good.
Oh, outstanding. Mm. Outstanding.
Been a big build-up. Geez, they're patient owners. Let's get to the open line. Hello, Harold.
Good morning, fellas. I was wondering what you thought about... the Furman's chances in the Caulfield Cup.
I think it's a great race for him. I don't know if he's going that well. Yeah. No, I think it's an absolutely ripping race for him, but I just don't know if he's in the right form. And down here he's been a better horse at Flemington.
Which one? Sorry?
Preferment.
Oh, Preferment, yeah.
He was pretty safely held, although he made a little bit of ground in that race, but, you know, a horse like Tally held him pretty easily in the finish, didn't he, the other day?
Yeah, he got beat easy, I know.
He's a $21 chance.
He was a good horse to me last year, so I'm not going to let him slip.
Oh, well.
He doesn't owe you anything.
He owes you nothing. Stick solid, Harold.
For the greyhounds, mate.
Yeah, great news. Great news.
See ya.
Harold.
See
it is a fantastic... Well, just hope it all comes to fruition. That's the problem. 13:53:53 Hi, Paul. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Can I be put through to Dean Lester, please?
I'm home. Can you put 20 cents in that phone? No, he's listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Dean, tell me, do you think Winks has been let go this preparation?
Yeah, she had a solid hit out on Saturday. She still ran the best 400 and 200 of the day, but she's still got a bit to go, I think.
There'd be more improvement or more progress with her than the other one, though, wouldn't there be?
I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know, champion.
Good on you, mate. Well done, Paul.
See, it's funny. Her times say she's had a tough run, but she doesn't, to the eye, look as though she has.
Yeah, but Usain Bolt doesn't look like he's going that hard, but he is.
She got one back end of their Saturday, that's it.
Yeah.
So you don't run that sort of time without exerting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, is that an indication on how good she is going? To the eye, she doesn't look to be, you know, being flat out, but by the watch, she is.
I reckon you're right. I think there's an economy of movement, which is similar. I know people won't agree with this. An economy of movement, which is similar between top athletes and then equine athletes.
All right.
Do I get any support there, Dino?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they don't look like they're busting their guts, but they actually are. But
their
they're
stride
just
might
so
be a touch longer. We proved that with Black Caviar that her stride was a bit longer, and so it's a bit easier to get across the ground. And absolutely.
Well, yeah. Well, speed is length of stride and repetition of stride.
Yep.
Whether you're a human or a racehorse.
Oh, well, you can have something on Sir Isaac Newton, are you, TK, after this?
Just think. I need to pass on that knowledge to people.
Your wisdom.
Now, horses to follow, please, from Dino. Can you give me a... I know it's early. I won't hold you to them, Dino. Caulfield Cup tip.
I'll be with the mares of the locals, Jamaica and...
Real Love.
Real Love.
Okay.
And we'll explore these internationals further this week.
Yep.
And horse to follow, Angerard from the Godolphins. They had absolutely no luck in the Thoroughbred Club.
None.
Never tested.
No. No, it looks to be
Champagne Stakes at Moonee Valley Friday week.
Beautiful.
Win that.
Beautiful. Angerard. Ronnie, Caulfield Cup and one to follow?
Look.
It's early, I know.
It's early, but I'm looking. I keep coming looking at Tally. But the horse to follow, it's that time of year where you've got hundreds of them. You just can't wait for the next meeting. But coming through... I know this Carbine Club's going to be a hot race, and he's inexperienced, this horse, but...
He's the horse.
He looks another Kermadec to me.
And if you're on it Saturday, you know, get yourself from underneath the lounge.
Lucky I haven't seen it yet. I haven't heard it.
Yeah. I was going to make it the horse fella, but I'll go with Happy Hannah. I thought she went all right on Saturday.
She did. She did. She stuck on really, really well.
She's got a good second up record, and she's won second up at a mile before, but she went into that race, and I think she'll still be improved.
And Glenn, quickly, I know it's early, mate. We'll hear you and all the boys right throughout the week, but have you got an early Caulfield Cup? What? Anything at odds?
No, I couldn't tip you anything at odds, TK, because you know, you get to the preferment, he's a $21 chance, and he's not going all that well. And you get past Tally, and as we said the other day at Flemington, he held those others fairly easily. So it looks as though it's the top of the market there. But punters have got money. They took us to the cleaners Saturday. Guess what? We put them up again on Sunday morning. And just before we go, TK, just a quick update here on Special Verse. Still 16 the win and 8 the place. But good luck.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it is trained at Forbes. It should be fit anyway. It should be swimming through the floodwaters the last month.
Thank you, Dino. Thank you, Duff. Thank you, Glenn Munsey.